the rest of the story. When the team of workers awakened in their remote woodland camp that autumn morning, it was to discover that one of their number was dead, apparently having passed away in his sleep. The group's supervisor personally examined the body. Finding no suspicious mark or other sign of foul play, he pronounced natural causes and all prepared for a prompt burial. The rest of the day proceeded normally, productively, and rather well considering the circumstances, with no one even mentioning the fallen comrade. Now I'm going to paint for you a moving picture, and you tell me what you see. It is the same day, and it is sundown. Everybody is back in camp, has had supper, is getting ready to turn in, when all at once the world goes silent. It was as though the twilight breeze, rolling gently down the mountainside through the valley, had in an instant swept away the birdsong, the rushing river, the sighing of the spruce trees, leaving in its wake complete, absolute quiet. And now the workers are frozen statues. They are standing, staring up the mountain trail that leads into camp. Something is coming. And yes, oh yes, yes, they see it now. Every eye is on it now, and every eye follows it as it draws nearer. Every head turns precisely synchronized as it passes into their midst and continues moving. Every head turns as one, except one. The supervisor, he alone cannot see. He sees the others watching dumbstruck, squinting, suddenly trembling. He peers into the dusk at the nothing that the others know is there. It, whatever it is still gliding among them without stopping, passing inexorably, irresistibly through the middle of the camp and on down the riverside trail. And it is gone now. And no sooner sound and motion return to the world. The birds, the river, the trees are alive again. The visitation took all of a minute, perhaps. At least that evening's visitation. For everything you've just experienced occurred the day following at sundown, and the sundown after that, and the sundown after that, four successive twilights. Whatever it was returned from the mountain and left by the riverside trail. And the workers who obviously saw it, whose turning heads and riveted eyes followed it, they would not tell the supervisor what they had seen. They never would tell. They never could tell, for the unseen was seen only by those who could never describe it. The ghost of a fallen comrade? I don't know. Maybe death itself came down the mountain road on that Alaskan wilderness in the early 20th century. The northern lights have seen strange sights, but the strangest they ever did see was witnessed by no human. The camp supervisor, a skeptical, hard-nosed sourdough named Slim Williams, did not believe in ghosts and such. Old Slim, the only human in camp, found a chilling, compelling, the evidence of undeniably objective and entirely unsuperstitious witnesses, his team of workers, his 10 sled dogs. Dogs who, following the death of one of their own, had paused in the fading light to behold. Anybody who knew old Slim Williams would tell you that his word was as good as gold. And I have to think that to be true even after hearing the rest of the story.